The Light Within. This season offers time for a slower pace of life, inner reflection, and the opportunity for renewal. In the Northern Hemisphere, winter solstice signals the gradual return of light. Christmas itself celebrates the embodiment of the light of the world. This year, I especially enjoyed the Christmas full moon, admiring the detailed and artistic moon shadows it cast on the brilliant nighttime snow. It's a time of pause, and even when there's a lot happening around me, I can still feel the tug of inner stillness, gently inviting me to receive its precious gifts. Indeed, the magic of the season, and perhaps of life itself, is always and only found within. What we perceive on the outside is so distracting that it's easy to forget, but everything we need is within. The answers you seek, the company you crave, the energy you need, experiences you want, insights you desire, services that bless you, none of it begins outside. And when grounded in that inner stillness, what does appear on the outside somehow still manifests in harmony with your core self. The last few weeks have been eventful ones for me. I recently finished several days of being in the company of adult offspring and their young ones. I'm clearly out of practice, for the toddler's endless curiosity and hectic boundary testing left me craving solitude. But the memorable events started even prior to that. A week before the December shout and Christmas party, we hosted the live webcast of the Sexual Energy School from the CC Studio. I woke up on the second day of SES feeling unwell and bothered with abdominal pain. A belly full of thumbtacks was how I described the feeling to someone. By evening, despite employing my entire bag of tricks such as breathing, walking, warm tea, hot baths, more breathing, things had gotten worse. Unable to sleep, I kept asking my body what was going on, and every time the same answer came back. "Something's wrong," she said. "I need help." Finally, at 2 a.m., I'd had enough, and I asked my partner to drive me to the hospital emergency room. Being a health-minded woman and self-sufficient master, I haven't been to a conventional doctor in more than 20 years. It just hasn't been necessary. I trust my body to let me know what she needs, and I definitely trust her ability to heal. However, I also understand that sometimes dear body needs more assistance than I can provide on my own. And when it starts from a place of trust and love, anything I choose is there to serve me. Finally, receiving some pain meds in the ER, I could breathe deeply again and sense into the situation. Was something really drastic going on? Could this be an exit point for me? Trying to distract myself in the preceding hours, I had looked up my symptoms online, and of course the worst potentials were still bouncing around my head. Nevertheless, the inner answer was very clear. No, this is not an exit point. We, body and me, just have some old business to take care of. They put me in a CAT scan machine, and soon came the diagnosis: acute appendicitis. Well, that explained it. After having trouble with my appendix since early teens, dear body had had enough of trying to manage it and wanted it gone. I made a clear choice to let a whole lot of ancient imbalances go along with it, sent a calling in sick email to Jeff, Linda, and the webcast crew, and was soon headed for surgery. My energy was obviously serving by helping me release a very old biological imbalance. And because of the clear inner communication, I never felt a single moment of fear. It's just what was happening, albeit uncomfortable and unexpected, and there was nothing to do but trust the process. It all went very quickly. In the hospital at 2 a.m., diagnosed by 4, in surgery by 6, and home by 11 the same morning. My body's relief was palpable, the residual pain mild, and I was 90% recovered in time for the shoud a week later. Now, while all that makes for a vaguely interesting story, the reason I'm sharing it is to illustrate how immediate and practical the inner wisdom and knowing can be, especially when you listen and trust it. Although I admit it took a few hours to make peace with my body's answer of needing help. I've written in the past about how the questions we ask create our reality, which means if you want good information and satisfying creations, you've got to ask good questions. Asking why hardly ever serves me. The helpful questions are what and how, such as, dear body, what do you need? How can I support you in serving me? Or more broadly, what do I want to experience? What are my desires? What am I ready to release? How can I love myself today? What's the best way to take care of me in this moment? These questions don't need anyone else to answer them. Although the answer might include availing myself of someone else's services, the wisdom is all mine in the moment that I need it. And this is the way it was always meant to be. Each of us free to create, define, and experience our own reality however we wish. But the outer world became so compelling and believable that we forgot. And in forgetting, we helped others forget as well, until everyone was looking to everyone else for approval, acceptance, authority, and answers. I believe an important part of the light we're sharing is the reminder that all answers are within, and that they can be trusted. When I trust my own stillness and live by my own wisdom, well, the flip side of that is remembering that nobody else needs me to tell them what to do or how to live. We all know this, but I recently got a good way to remember it. A friend of mine works with people who are transitioning out of homelessness, which means she and others are constantly interacting with people who have plenty of problems. During training, she reminds the staff members of the two rules they must remember. Number one, leave work at work. Don't take it on, and don't take it home. Number two, we are not life police. If somebody wants to live in the woods, we help them get a tent. In Chamber speak, the first one by now should be obvious. The problems and issues around me, even with people I love, are not mine. I've gotten better at remembering that, but it's still very tempting to want to help, fix, counsel, or if nothing else, provide lots of good ideas. But all that help, particularly when unasked for, only obscures their own inner wisdom, which means I must remember point number two. I am nobody's life police officer. When my friend used that term, I immediately flashed to memories of growing up in a family of life police where everything was governed by rules and restrictions generously dictated by dozens of well-meaning relatives. Then I had to cringe at more recent memories of encouraging other people, such as my kids, to make the right choices, as if I could possibly know the appropriate course of their journey. The advice might have been perfect if I were in their shoes, but it denies them the privilege of discovering their own wisdom. I think it's an excellent idea to respect the sovereignty of everyone. Not just those who think and talk like me or seem to be making the right choices. But wisdom insists that now I take it from idea to reality. Here's a few examples. One of the people close to me is thinking about finding a therapist to help them sort out some life issues. Rather than jumping in and making suggestions and trying to help, it's time for me to say, "You've got this. I know you'll find exactly who and what you need, and I'm here if you need my assistance." Someone on Facebook is asking for Adamus's take on certain things, and other Chambra are offering their input. However, being online friends with this person, I can see what they post outside the Crimson Circle group, and I'm tempted to point out how their life focus is in opposition to what they're seeking. But that's not what they asked about. And I'm not their life police. They'll figure it out when they're ready. Then there's the person who emailed me recently, wishing me well, but apparently oblivious to the energy games they play, that are driving everyone away. My life police officer self wants to helpfully point out what they're doing, how it makes other people feel, and, you know, change their life for the better. I think this time I'll let it go and honor their journey. Whether or not they're in touch with their inner wisdom, it's none of my business. Another person in my orbit has tried a lot of different things, but just doesn't seem to know what to do with their life, and I am brimming with ideas. However, I've decided to keep it to myself, unless asked, of course, and make every effort to see them as the ancient and wise being that they already are. In doing so, I bless myself by stepping away from the outer-oriented role of life police and back to my own inner haven of stillness. That's the only place I can make a difference anyway, for it is where my light exists. This new year, I invite you to spend deep moments in the presence of yourself, opening to the answers within. Rest in the stillness at your core, especially when others are dimming their own wisdom. Your light is all they need, nothing else. Remember, your energy is already serving you perfectly. To see that perfection, just keep watching and trusting, especially when things appear to be going wrong, because they might finally be going right. We never could save the world or anyone in it, although we sure have tried. Even the one we knew as the Savior simply said, "I am the light of the world," because that's all anyone needs. From externally oriented life police officers to shiners of the inner light, our job just keeps getting easier.